R22, tout monde, antenne, corps étrangers.
Thank you so much. I am quite impressed by the proposals this morning. I would start by saying thank you, Olivier and the team of Kiasma, of course, for organizing this. I'm a bit overwhelmed by the amount of information, but I'll take it bit by bit. And I have the difficult task to respond to some of these things. And I'll draw, you know, broad lines. I'll try to use umbrellas to cover some of them. And in some spaces, I'll try to be a bit more specific. I'll try most especially to make relations to maybe my kind of practice and the conversations we've been having in the past years with Olivier and others. I think that would be an appropriate way to begin this. As Olivier rightly said, we, Kiasma and Savvy Contemporary are kind of sister institutions in the sense that though we at Savvy Contemporary are much younger, we think along the same lines, and we try at least to think along the same lines and use artistic practice and exhibition making as spaces of political, social, economic deliberations. So I was kind of torn between, I was listening to Olivier speak in French, and he was talking of lieu sûr. And I had difficulties in translating that. If he meant a safe space, if he meant a space of certainty, yeah. But how would one translate that? That would be the first thing, especially in a space like a Kiasma where it's all about uncertainties.
Yeah, I think we can choose in the translation different potential narratives that we want to. We can say safe places to go to open to a kind of history of the minorities. It could be gender minorities, can be racial minorities. So it could be safe place. But there is other possibilities. For example, in French, we can say lieu sûr, which is close to an expression that exists in the outskirts, which says gars sûr. Ah. That's men. Safe men. And so we can open to not men or women, but safe people. Because for me, as I tried to say in the opening, the idea of place is not something that is specifically a geography issue. This is situated, but it's not geography situated. It's situated by a certain kind of conditions that people are creating, and kind of gesture. And so it's something that is performing in a certain way. And I always says that in the safe place is not the idea of an institution as something that could be really fixed in concrete, but more a kind of permanent performance of a place, or yes, a place that can become visible by an effort of doing certain kind of gesture. And I think we all try to talk about that kind of gesture. And that gesture can be, in certain sense, and totally in the opposite, as Nadia tried to expose, that finally, all gesture can become safe gestures.
Very good. So it takes me to, I would like to kind of summarize all of this in something I would like to call a pendulum of invisibility and hypervisibility. You know, this constant swinging, and with a difference of who decides to do that. You know, are you made invisible, or are you made hypervisible, or do you make yourself invisible, or do you make yourself hypervisible? So the intentionality of it, I find very important. Listening to you speak in the beginning, I had to, of course, think of Edna Broadbent's idea of black spaces, you know, which she discussed and she's written about, which is, in this case, a physical space, you know, which she put up in Jamaica, where she invites people from all over the world to come down and reflect on ways of producing black knowledges, you know. So I thought that very important to mention. And again, the issue of staying in darkness, you know, which you point in with the Aufklärung, with the idea of the enlightenment, you know. So this force or this push to be always in the light, and light as knowledge, you know. But what if one decided to stay in darkness, you know, which is another conversation I've been having with Philippa for some time, you know, the possibility of staying in that space of darkness, you know, because of the simple reason that in that space of darkness, your eyes get accommodated, you know, the lens in the eye gets accommodated to the space, and you learn how to see each other. You learn how to see yourself, and you learn how to see the other people in that space of darkness. But there's also something about the fact that in that space of darkness, you can see who is in light, who is the so-called enlightened, but not the other way around necessarily. The person in that space of light, just through the physicality of it, cannot see you in that darkness, you know. So that space of darkness is a very important space.
I would like perhaps to add something,
yes,
that
please.
It could be a third point. Mm-hmm. And I try to express working with words, and it's hard in different languages, but when I use that expression, tout contre-culture, that is trying to find, because I think we have to invent words to talk about those specific situations that are unnameable. So we have, and so poetry is that to try to find a gesture of care, which is not designing something, just trying to trace a contours of things. And so the idea of the counterculture is known, and what I call the really counter, the two counterculture, that means that we don't live in separate worlds. We are in the contact with the toxicity. It's not we can't fly to another world, we can't land to another world. We have to live in that world, it's our world. And so As we talk about Maroon's experience, what is the most interesting Maroon experience is really that zone of contact. Because they are staying, as you say, in the darkness, but they need to be in the contact with the plantations to find other people to help them, to find other means. And so that obligation of contact, I think, is what you live in Berlin, what I live in Paris. We are not out of the society, we are in contact with, which is a kind of masquerade, as Nadia told. Mm-hmm. So, and what I call to hide yourself in light. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And not only hide yourself in the darkness, both. Mm-hmm. You can be hide in the darkness and hide in the light.
Exactly. You have the choice to do that. Mm-hmm. You're not placed into that, in those spaces, you know. And I think this intention of being there or there is what is very important to me, which I find very important in all the talks that were given. But I wanted to come back to you again, Olivier, in your talking about porosity, about the membrane, you know, which is, again, a longer conversation you've been developing, and trying to think of, you know, ideas of relations within those spaces, you know, how porosity leads to relation making, how thinking of those spaces as osmotic spaces, you know, spaces where certain forms of diffusion happen, you know, things come in and go out, but they can be regulated, you know, and I think this regulation is very important, and again, who has the possibility of making these regulations becomes very important, you know, and thinking there, again, one cannot listen to you speak without thinking of Glissant, you know, in so many ways, you know, in the philosophy of relations, you know, and the importance of differences in relations, you know, going beyond just similarities, but looking at dissonances, you know, and the importance of those in the kind of practices we're trying to develop, you know. So Then with regards to Jephthah's presentation, which I also found very, very important, thinking through the body, thinking of the body and through the body, you know, the kind of the knowledges that are carried with the body, you know. So because you mentioned the body that produces knowledge and the body that carries knowledge, you know, and I had to think of Esiaba Irobi, who wrote about the philosophy of the sea, you know, and he talked about the knowledges that were carried upon the middle passage, you know, to the so-called new world, and that a lot of these knowledges were kept, of course, not in books, of course, not in writings, but in the body, and how performativity plays a very important role in that, you know, through the practicing, through rituals, through performing on a daily basis, in the quotidian, one keeps those knowledges, you know. So how would if the body is taken seriously as the source of knowledge, then how do we look at as performativity as possible ways of understanding ourselves, at gesticulations, at scarification, at different ways of writing on the body, you know. What one might try to call corporal literacy, you know, if one wishes, you know. But I was also very interested in the way you developed it towards the maroon, you know, the runaway, the idea of not wanting to be there necessarily, you know, the choice of being there, but the runaway, as you know, in the beginning of the On the Common, they write something about some people want to run things, we just want to run. You know, we want to run away. The idea of being on the run, you know, which I think is also a very important thing to mention there. Nadia's presentation, I couldn't understand everything because I was switching between English and French, but I liked the working on the opacity of the body, you know, of the covering of the body and the relation to Harun Faruqi, but the idea of covering the body to recover dignity is something I found extremely important, you know. But it's about the power of the gaze, who is looking at it, who is looking at you, and actually what do you, again, a matter of choice, you know, when do you choose to unveil or to veil yourself, you know, and what is it behind, and the importance of not exposing everything, you know, if you say that the body then carries knowledge, as we're claiming, you say, what knowledge do you choose to share with people, and how do you choose to do that, you know, in that sense, I found it very important in many ways. And also, of course, your connection to light and the Aufklärung and enlightenment, which it is. Nadia, also thank you very much for the presentation and the racial hospitality, you know, which I think is a fantastic idea. And I was thinking there of you know, hospitality, you know. Because I mean, in the blurb, it said, how can skin that exposes all the police interrogations, all of the abusive designations, become at the same time the sign of hospitality? You know, again, this pendulum, this between hostility and hospitality. You know, I was very interested in that, and the way Derrida develops that idea of hospitality, that in every situation of hospitality, there is hostility hidden in it, you know. So the body, in the case of your narration, comes with, you know, there is that possibility of building the community, but at the same time, it is a surface of violence, you know, or on which violence is perpetrated, you know. So, just a few thoughts on that.
If I remember well, you are preparing a show with that name.
Yes.
Yeah. Not just to exactly. Say to Nadia that perhaps she should visit Berlin to
yes,
see you.
Yes, we will talk about it later. So yes, and it's something I'm very much interested in that position, especially in settler colonialism. You know, when the host becomes the guest. You know, where there is a kind of a violent act of replacement. You know, but also thinking of it as in the body when the host is the guest per se, you know, but not in a voluntary way, but it is made to become the guest, you know, which is again this shift from hostility to hospitality.
That's it. I'm sorry for the morning because we began late. Let you time to arrive to us, so we don't have a lot of time to continue that first round, but all. Of course, the speakers and also the audience after that will come in the loop. We just have 2 minutes break, just the time to install Philippa for the next lecture. Okay.
Okay. No, I was just very struck. I thought part of what was at stake, Olivia, was making a distinction between instituting and institution. Institution is, you know, what we understand by an institution, but when you described a gesture or a performance of a place, that exactly is instituting, which does not entail a building or bricks necessarily, but is still a place that emerges through exactly what you described. And that seemed, it seemed that you were circling around that. And this notion of instituting, I mean, this is coming from Castoriadis, who's already an ally of C.L.R. James. So during the 50s, during the, you know, the years of occupation of Algeria. So this question of instituting actually has a relation to anti-colonial thinking, although it usually is not analyzed in that way. And in a sense, part of what's going on here is thinking through the aesthetics of instituting, but now thinking instituting in its anti-colonial genealogy, and then updating that for this moment. So that seemed to me part of what we're doing is really constituting a genealogy from this moment in 1980. That you talked about brilliantly to this amazing composition by Jean Lee, Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child, where this question of a kind of drift away from this kind of orphan drift, this drift outside of the mother, and maybe by implication outside of the father as well. This is also a kind of sonic gesture. A certain kind of instituting has been presented by Jean Lee. So, I just wanted to draw together some of the things you said.
I think you're right about that, and that's the reason why I did that attempt just at the beginning to shift from the figure to the scene. That means that at some point, it's a case for Savi in Berlin and Kiasma and others, the risk is to become a figure, and a strategy can to try to keep a scene. That means that something that to have always to be play to exist, and not to be crystallized in a kind of figure. So you can become a figure of a scene, or you said, no, I'm not a figure of a scene. I'm in a scene. Mm-hmm. I'm a scene. As I say, we are the place. Mm-hmm. We are not in the place, we are the place. Mm-hmm. That means that it's a way to try to get out of the trap mm-hmm. of that production of figures mm-hmm. that even in such a kind of way of talking about the minorities story, mm-hmm. story of the minorities, mm-hmm. there's still the temptation to find some figures, as we saw with Jeff Tech's presentation with the Macandal things. So the Maroon would be Macandal. But in fact, Macandal is not a person, it's a kind of multiplicity. It's like a poison coming. And so it's really strong to imagine Macandal more as a pattern of struggle than as a man.
Sorry, I just wanted to, you know, we've been talking, Kojo and I are a collective from London called the Otolith Group. We've been working for 17 years, hosting events around the screen as such, and being extremely hospitable. So there's a lot of things I want to say about all of this in terms of everything that was brought up today. But what I also want to just talk about very quickly, because I know we don't have that much time, is this question on opacity, reflection, refraction. As you'll see in our film later, we've worked a lot with these ideas in relation to light on the Eastman film. But I am constantly thinking these days about how the alt-right have co-opted and cannibalized a lot of this, a lot of these ideas around, you know, revolutionary practices, the left, you know, and I think it's important to be fully aware of the, the way that, maybe you can think of it in this way, the way that the Hindu right inaugurated themselves in the subcontinent was by calling themselves India Shining, and they advertised India as a spiritual destination reflecting back exactly what white tourists want of India, right? Another way to think about it is corporate power mirrored buildings everywhere that seamlessly blend into the sky, that reflect you back to yourself when you pass them. Okay, so, you know, the alt-right right now is very clever. So they are using opacity. And, you know, I'm not sure that... I think we need to think not just about these ideas romantically, but actually about complexity, right? Because we all, in one degree, also do not want to be performing to this outright, which one could also say is the white art world, who manages to ameliorate itself often by proposing objects called black or whatever, and pointing at them and saying, we now have something from Africa, which is ridiculous, or we now have something from, you know, India or whatever. I think the question, me and Onyeka were quickly discussing this earlier, around what diaspora is you know, complex and should and is mutant and is actually, I think, more dangerous for this, let's say, white art world than it is, you know, to call something definitively black. I want to sort of talk about this complexity and reflecting things that are more complex than smart power.
Thank you, Anja. Thank you.